Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
9:43, 17 before 10, Tommy Tucker, WWL. Talking to our friend Paul Violas, law enforcement and security analyst, CEO of Violas Group International, and co-host of Safeguarding America. Don't tell me you've gone over to the dark side, Paul.
And you now have a
radio
show.
How are you? All right?
I'm doing terrific. How you been? I haven't talked to you in a while.
It's good to talk to you. Paul wrote a book, Safeguarding America, The Blueprint for Keeping you and, I don't have it in front of me right now, you and your family safe.
Yeah.
And I think this is a handbook that everybody should read in today's climate to keep everybody safe. And I said that before, and I guess you get this at all the usual outlets, Paul?
Yes. Well, actually, right now, you can get it on Amazon, or you can come to us directly at violas.com, and I'll sign it and send it out.
And it is like it literally is a handbook or a rule book, if you will, for surviving today's society. And I hate to put it that way, but that's the way it is. We have a hell of a problem with violent crime here in New Orleans. And I wanted to talk to you, Paul. When I saw this synagogue incident that happened, I saw that somebody threw a chair and it distracted the hostage taker, and the police wound up killing him. What would you tell somebody? And it's, I can't believe we are having this conversation, but
right.
We need to. What are the best practices if you find yourself in a situation where whatever you have, wherever you are, is somebody comes in and takes you hostage, or maybe a workplace shooting, et cetera? What are the best things to do? How do you handle yourself?
Well, I'll tell you, Tommy, I've been through this a long time and teaching communities now for well over 10 years on this. I refer to C's, and they're very, very easy to do. But if you get them in your head and they work really well, calm, compliant, communicate, and calculate. And what do I mean by that is when you're in a situation, the very first thing you have to tell yourself is remain calm. What you want to avoid, Tommy, is you don't want to say don't panic, because it's like if I said to you, hey, Tommy, don't think of the color red, you're going to think of the color red. Your body is going to do what your mind says. Tell yourself what you want it to do. Remain calm. Breathe. I've got this. We're going to be okay. That's first. Compliant. In situations like the one that you mentioned, the more human the hostage taker sees you, the better you are. Be compliant. In situations like that, they are looking to control. Either A, they didn't plan for it and they got pushed into it, so it was a robbery that went bad and the police are there. Or B, they planned for it and they plan to use this as a prolonged type of exercise. So compliant is important. Communicate. If you need something like medication, if you really need to go to the bathroom in a situation like that, calmly, not in a panic, but calmly tell them, I have a heart problem. I have diabetes. I have whatever. I need to go in my pocketbook. And the hostage taker, believe it or not, will respond well to that if you say it calmly. Calculate. Observe your surroundings, your hostage taker's behavior. Are they erratic? Are they organized? Are they disorganized? Look for potential areas of escape. If your hostage taker blindfolds you, listen. Listen for all sounds. Pay attention to smells. Also, changes in temperature. If it's prolonged, that's going to tell you how long it's getting night or day. Those are some things, calm, compliant, communicate, calculate, that will help you survive that.
When it comes to carjacking, What do you do? And a woman told us a story. A lady told us a story of her family. He pulls over to look at the seatbelt on a kid. Before they know it, somebody stopped in front of him. Two people get out of the car in masks. They tell him to get out of the car. The family's freaking out, saying, please don't hurt the kids. And ultimately, I think they didn't take the car because it was a stick shift and they couldn't drive a stick. What do you do if you find yourself in that situation? And how do you prevent from being in that situation to begin with? Is it all about awareness?
Well, a lot of it, Tommy, has to do with situational awareness, especially, and these are common mistakes that people make. If you stop at a light, never stop so close that you can't maneuver around the vehicle in front of you in the case of an emergency. But you're talking about two different things. In a case like a carjacking, they want the car. Get out of the car, remove the people, forget about the property, remove the people and get out of the car. They'll take the car and go. That's typically the way the carjacking is going to work. However, if you find yourself hostage situation in a parking lot and someone is trying to drag you away, you want to fight and scream as loud as you possibly can. Do not get in the vehicle. Do everything you can not to get in that vehicle because your chances of survival are minimal at best.
One other thing I want to talk to you about in terms of national mood about the police, and this is a story, I'm sure you're familiar with it, out of a town just south of Philadelphia. Three officers charged in manslaughter. An 8-year-old girl was shot and killed by a police bullet, and I understand the officers need to be held accountable, but what I don't get is that the people that started the shooting as well, the people that started the shooting, rather, there were no charges against them, and the district attorney said it was in the, and I'm paraphrasing here because I can't find the story, but something in the interest of helping the community heal. Now, you can't decide who gets arrested and who doesn't in terms of the community response, right? Because isn't that pretty much mob rule at that point?
You know what I have to tell you, Tommy? It's interesting that you bring this particular case up. I'm familiar with it. And it's interesting because the macro point behind this is actually the topic of the first Safeguarding America radio show that I did 2 weeks ago. And that is the manner in which prosecutors are selectively prosecuting crimes, and they are grossly minimizing the safety of our community, this case being one of them. Clearly a case of prosecutorial misconduct. I mean, clearly the police officers have to be held accountable for everything. We all know that. But that's an investigation that's going to take place by the police department, by other agencies, if need be. And clearly probably Pennsylvania State Police may be brought in on that. I don't know. But that's subject to the results of that investigation. But to arbitrarily say that the individuals that perpetrated that act of violence, that started that shooting process in that particular scene, were not going to be charged to heal the community, clearly this is one of many cases that we see across the United States of prosecutors abusing their authority. That is not making the community safe. It's making it worse because sooner or later, not when sooner than later, police are going to need to decide to themselves what they're going to roll up on and what they're going to wait to get there on. And when we start doing that, Tommy, that's when we shouldn't be surprised when we've got different groups around in each state to figure they need to take it into their own hands to police their community.
Well, because what this is saying, and correct me if I'm wrong, is, well, we're afraid there's going to be a negative reaction in the community, protest riots or whatever, so we're just not going to enforce the law.
Yeah, and that's really, again, all you're doing is destroying the very fabric of freedom that our communities have been clothed with since we started this country, since we gained our independence. You are not protecting anyone when you do that. You are making matters worse because you have to look at this from a macro perspective, right, Tommy? As a prosecutor, when you make that decision, you're abusing your authority. You are telling police supervisors to tell police in roll call, hey, listen, if you roll up on this, we want to take our hands off on this, or we don't want to stop cars for these types of actions because we're just not doing that anymore. That is not why we elected legislators to get into a state legislator to enact law to keep us safe. We did not elect prosecutors to have this much authority, and we need to start taking that back. It's, you know, Tommy, here's a perfect example. New York City, my hometown, which I'm ashamed of at this point. How do you say you're not going to charge people with resisting arrest with violence? Well, you're going to tell the cops, well, my hands are off. Why am I doing it? That is the direction we're going right now, Tommy. It's something I think you and I could talk about for a segment or two on prosecutorial misconduct by selecting prosecution, not enforcing the law.
You better watch what you ask for. You might just get it. Thank you, Paul. Appreciate your time. Paul Violas, the book is Safeguarding America, the blueprint for keeping you and your family safe. And if you have adult kids or even kids that are teenagers, I'd suggest getting the book and letting them read it. We'll take a break. Thank you, Paul Violas. Back in a flash, WWL.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.